A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello there, my very good friends. On today's wrestling news, you can add Mojo Rawley's name to the list of WWE releases. We're going to tell you all about that, plus a bunch of new backstage details.
Samoa Joe and other wrestlers react to their WWE releases.
AEW Dynamite hits 1.2 million viewers without competition.
And Impact Wrestling announces Mauro Ranallo as commentating on their Rebellion pay-per-view next weekend. I'm Adam Wilborn.
And I'm Andy Murray.
And this is the news.
Sorry about that. Suffered a malfunction. Performed an illegal operation in the middle of that sentence. Andy EXE has been closed. Let's fire into this stuff. I covered some of the releases on a quick video last night, but we've got more details today. A bunch of stuff here. I'm going to blitz through these points because there's so many of them. But you can find more detail on our website, whatculture.com/WWE. Plug. Mojo Rawley, add his name to the release of WWE releases. He's gone. That brings the number up to 10. This was announced last night while us in the UK were sleeping a few hours after the main glut. He's gone. He'd been with WWE since August 2012, but he hadn't been wrestling since June 2020. Moving on swiftly, per Sean Ross Sapp at Fightful, John Laurinaitis was the one who made the phone calls to these people and let them know that they had been cut, citing budget cuts as the reason, despite WWE generating record-breaking profits in 2020. Curious one, that. Dave Meltzer chimed in. 90-day non-compete clause on all of these people, unable to sign anywhere until the 14th of July. Fightful Select! With a backstage report here saying that word of cuts in WWE started circulating a few months ago. The outlet spoke to several people who had heard about this, were worried about their jobs, went to WWE management and said, hey, is my job security okay? We're told it's fine, you're not going to be released, and then got released. Another report here from Fightful Select, speaking about Samoa Joe and Mickie James, both of them had been pretty vocal about wanting to wrestle again in WWE. Mickie James hadn't wrestled since the Royal Rumble, the Women's Royal Rumble. Before that, it was like months. As singles match was Lena Vega on Raw, was her match before that. But she was obviously never brought back onto television. And Samoa Joe had been trying to get cleared. He wanted to compete again, but WWE would not clear him. He had been on the sidelines since February 2020, but he'd obviously been doing commentary during that time. And another report here from Fightful Select, talking about Bo Dallas, who hadn't appeared on WWE programming since October 2019 and was let go. He was actually backstage at a bunch of recent SmackDown shows. He was backstage during WrestleMania week as well and actually performed a test match for WWE ahead of WrestleMania Night 2. But he was never factored into creative plans and he was cut as well. 10 people let go. It's a sad day. It sucks. It's minging, particularly when you consider the reason, which is complete and utter toot. But here we are, Adam Wilborn. I can tell you're gagging to unleash a promo on the world. So please do that.
Well, before I don't want to put the cart before the horse. Before I give my thoughts on it, I should give the reactions of the wrestlers that's been shared all over social media. We all saw it last night. There was Samoa Joe tweeting a gif of the Truman Show with the words "Be well" and responding to a Chappelle Show gif posted by CM Punk with "They really should have never gave me money." Mickie James with a lovely message saying grateful for the memories, grateful for the locker room, grateful for the fans, grateful for these little keys to my golden handcuffs. You can never expected others' visions to be as big as your own dreams. Thank you. Always blessed and grateful. Chelsea Green So I can't believe they've released her as well. I've made once-in-a-lifetime memories at WWE. She posted, "I didn't do everything I set out to do, but I'm proud of what I've done. I'm proud of the fact that I never took no for an answer. I'm proud of the fact that I came back stronger every single time I was knocked down. Tomorrow I'll get up, dust myself off, and start on my journey." Tucker posted a photo of himself proving that he's really not that bothered by these releases. He's on the golf course. He tweeted, making lemonade. And Billy Kay, I'll get onto this in a second, posted a lovely message on her Instagram, Billy Kay WWE. "Thank you, Vince McMahon, WWE and Triple H for the past 6 years. They have fulfilled my dreams entirely, from being a 10-year-old girl that fell in love with WWE from the moment I saw The Rock on TV. And now I'm walking away with so many incredible moments, from Super Showdown in front of my friends and family to winning the Tag Team Championships at WrestleMania." She continues, "Go and check it out on her Instagram." But in the words, Andy Murray, of the greatest female tag team of all time, "You gotta be joking me!"
There it is. There it is.
It's hard to put into words how I feel about all this. A, because I really don't want to make Adam Nicholas's job to edit around us even harder than it usually is by effing and jeffing all over the place. But it's just inexplicable. Vince McMahon, you f***ing heartless bastard. Sorry, Nicholas. I've just asked one. Just give me one. A year to the day, like some sort of awful time hop of like, remember what you were doing last year? Well, time to release even more wrestlers in the midst still of a global pandemic, as Andy said, whilst you're making record profits, claiming you have to do it for budget cut reasons. What a load of bollocks. And like, you never want to advocate for certain people to be released ahead of others, but genuinely, some of these names on this list is mind-blowing. Samoa Joe, obviously, you saw the internet reaction to that. Whether he could never wrestle again, or, like you say, he's attempting to get cleared, it's inexplicable that you would let someone like that go, especially as he saved your sodding show a few days ago, making himself look like a tit in a poncho and just keeping things going when WrestleMania couldn't start. I mentioned Chelsea Green, Kalisto, Wesley Blake, Mojo Rawley, the news breaking overnight for us here in the UK as well. But I'll conclude by, of course, talking about my favourite tag team, the Iconics!
Jeez.
Sorry,
it's all right.
That's come from my chest, that has. Like, I remember last year, right? Like I say, I'd never say, oh, people should be released, or you should expect these certain people to be released. But I remember last year when the cuts were going on, you know, there was some sort of fake tweets going around. I saw someone like pretending to be Sean Ross Sapp last night and saying like Charlotte Flair had got released or whatever. Some of those bounced around last year about Billy and Peyton. And it was more believable then than it is today. Like, yes, Peyton hasn't been used, but last year they were just sort of, I think they were still recovering from injuries maybe, or they just weren't being used or whatever. And it's like, Billy Kay was one of the stars of WrestleMania weekend. She stole the show in that women's tag team match. And if you're sat there going, well, yeah, they haven't really done anything since they split up as a tag team. You split them up as a tag team, you absolute knobheads. What are you thinking? But I'll conclude, Andy. I've rattled on. I do apologise. I want to let you get your thoughts in as well. I'll conclude by just reaching out. Billy Bloody Kay, Peyton Bloody Royce, I would love, it would be a dream of mine to interview you here on this channel. If you guys can help make that happen by tweeting them and just letting them know, they are two people who, you know, I know it's all a fun gimmick and what have you, but I think they were so entertaining as a tag team. And you know, don't be sad that it's over. Be happy that we had the Iconics illegal at WrestleMania 35, Andy.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they're one of a number of people on this list who I don't think are going to have any trouble. I think people will be lining up. Their phones will not stop ringing as soon as July 14th hits and the 90-day non-compete clause hits. The same with people like Samoa Joe. How'd you let Samoa Joe go?
Jeez.
It's crazy. It's a really crazy situation, and for me, it's an indefensible move. Look, if you have nothing for people creatively, and there's a whole different argument to that, wait until the global health crisis is over. Maybe don't release people in the middle of a bloody pandemic when the labor market is really strangled and companies like AEW are currently stuffed to the gills and options aren't quite there. Just wait until it's over. It's the same situation we spoke about last year on the exact same date, horribly. I gave the bulk of my thoughts on last night's video, but yeah, it really sucks for the people involved. I hope all of them land on their feet. I'm sure plenty of them will. Hopefully they find fulfillment in whatever they do next. But it sucks, and I really hope this is the end of it.
Yeah, sure. Best of luck to them in the future. It's a, you know, often parroted phrase because of WWE's bastardization of it all. But genuinely, best of luck to all 10 of these guys. I really hope that they can do stuff. And for some of them, like Mickey James alluded to, the golden handcuffs may be coming off. Excited to see what happens next. They will have copies to keep you posted. We'll try and get time with all of the guys, but obviously Billy and Peyton for me is a priority. Also, wouldn't mind chatting to Samoa Joe, Andy. But yes, best of luck in the future to everyone's been released. And a massive middle finger to WWE from all of us here at What Culture.
Let's literally change channel, I guess. Yeah. And report on AEW Dynamite, which did a huge number this week. The second highest viewership in company history. For the first week without competition from NXT. This is data from Showbuzz Daily, of course. This is ridiculous, man. But, you know, good for the wrestling business. 1.219 million viewers across the 2 hours. That is up considerably from the previous week when they were down at 688,000. It's almost double. Mad. And the 18 to 49 demographic rating was 0.44. That is the highest since December 2020. And it was enough for them to finish second on the night amongst cable shows. So a colossal success there. This follows, of course, NXT, which increased in viewership to 805K this week on Tuesday night. Although the 18 to 49 number was still 0.22, which is the same as the takeover number was last week. But when you're doing the same number as a takeover for your weekly show, that's good stuff. So there we go. Conclusive proof once again that the Wednesday Night Wars were pointless, apart from WWE's point or goal of reducing AEW's numbers, which, looking at this, they were very successful at. So here we are. Hope it continues. Hope both shows continue to grow. Good news to follow up from the awful news that we just told you about.
Yeah, exactly. It was the one saving grace maybe last night, this, Andy. Fantastic news for AEW. And like you say, proves that NXT was kind of right in that it's awful to say it, but it was proved NXT and WWE was right to do what they did. Very excited to see where they go from here and how that number maintains. But best for everyone. I don't want to talk too much about this. We've already talked a lot and I want to get to our Twitter questions and what have you today. But an incredible achievement. And for both shows, just nice that both numbers have gone up, AEW to an incredible amount. But let's just stop the war now, lads. We can enjoy both NXT and AEW. And if you don't like either of them, don't watch.
Fine.
And don't comment on each other's Twitter. It's the end of a very long few weeks of WrestleMania madness. How about we draw a line under it all now and just let's move on. And let's move on to Impact Wrestling, who have got their Rebellion pay-per-view, of course, next weekend, 25th of April, headlined by, of course, the title versus title Kenny Omega Rich Swann match, which I'm very much looking forward to. And ESPN's Mark Raymond broke the news last night that Mauro Ranallo is going to be in the booth to call this. Great to see him back behind the commentary desk and excited to see what he does with this. I've missed him, Andy.
Yeah, back in pro wrestling for the first time since leaving WWE last August. I believe PW Insider have reported that this is effectively a one-match deal, but Mauro has been in the studio already doing voiceover work. Pardon me, producing some hype packages and everything else. Him and Matt Stryker is going to be a very animated comedy booth? Commentary booth for the big match. Title versus title. Rebellion adds to the big fight feel. Good.
Yeah, jazzed for that. Right, let's move on to your Twitter questions. At WhatCultureWWE, of course, you want to get in touch with us. Rhys Macy starts us off. Kind of biased these questions, just a heads up, Andy. Rhys says, is it time that AEW add women's tag titles and why should the Iconics be the inaugural champions?
I think AEW should sign the Iconics. I think anyone should sign the Iconics because the double act is so good. But to answer your question, no, I don't think AEW should install women's tag team championships. I just don't, there aren't any women's tag teams in AEW. The Nightmare Sisters are no longer together because Brandi's pregnant and off television. Evil East just got released, so that Diamante tag team's not there. You could do things like Britt Baker and Reba, but like there's nothing there. There's no division there. I think they would need to establish a few tag teams first instead of just throwing a bunch of people together for the sake of it. So I think the Iconics should go to Impact, personally, because they already have an established women's tag team division. They'd fit in nicely. They're great entertainers, and that would be a good place for them, I think.
Yeah. We talked about this a while back when Peyton Royce did a singles match and hit that mint new finisher of hers. I still think there's a range to have them as a tag team in something like AEW. I think the Impact shout's great as well, Andy. But have them as a tag team in AEW to wrestle the occasional match, but mainly to push Peyton Royce, because she is slightly better wrestler than Billie Kay. But Billie Kay as a sort of manager, person on the outside, is so entertaining. We've seen that throughout their time, whether she's just holding onto the tag rope or just on the outside. And yeah, that's how you do it. That's how Peyton Royce rises up the rankings with Billie Kay by her side. That's what I would do personally. But yeah, I mean, they ain't going to be struggling for work. It's just mind-blowing that WWE released them. I can't get over it, understandably. Last night was my phone was blowing up, so thanks to everyone who was checking on me for that. IIron17 gives us our next question today. Great question, this. Says, if the title changes hands at WrestleMania, should WWE write the loser off TV for a while? They did it with Bret Hart after WrestleMania 12, Michaels after 14, The Rock after 17, and it worked out, plus it prevented tons of rematches. Like this idea, Andy.
Yeah, I guess for me, it all depends on the storyline and everything else and how oversaturated the person who's going to be taking this time off has maybe become. If they still feel fresh, exciting, and people want to tune in and see them, there's probably no point in doing something like that. But I absolutely agree that in the right set of circumstances, and the examples you've used are very strong ones, I'm a favor of cycling people off TV for a few months at a time. Make us miss them, as Adam always says. There's definitely value to that, but it's situational. Depends on, you know, what's going on at the time and what happened before the pay-per-view and everything else. But there's definitely a good point to be made there.
Yeah, I don't want to have to wait for an injury to constantly say, well, maybe this is a blessing in disguise, so they can go away for a bit. But someone like Asuka, I think, is a perfect example.
Definitely.
I would have a triple threat match, WrestleMania Backlash, Asuka versus the champ Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte Flair. I'd protect Asuka, maybe she gets hit with a natural selection, immediately followed by a Riptide or whatever it may be. But Rhea pins Asuka, so Charlotte can still say, oh, you've never been me, Rhea. That's the match you take to SummerSlam, doing WWE's bloody work for him here on the day I hate them the most. and then I'd take Asuka off telly for a while, because she's been great, but she's been, you know, constantly there for a year now, nearly coming up to Money in the Bank, when she of course won the briefcase and then won the title the next night. So yeah, certain people, not everyone, like you say, Andy, but I think that's a great call. Final question today comes from Kieran James, who says, morning legends, after last night's news on releases, is it time that WWE needs a major shake-up in the boardroom department? Is it time for Vinny and Co to go? Oh, I've never had that feeling more than today, Kieran. What do you reckon, Andy?
It's a two-sided argument. The first side of that is that WWE as a business is more successful than it ever has been at any point in its history. So the answer on that side is no. However, on the creative side and on the side of releases like we've just experienced today, the answer is a resounding yes. So choose your fighter, throw them at each other, see what happens. But there are strong points to be made. Absolutely. For sure.
Yes. Piss off, you brain-wormed old bastard, in the words of Michael Sidgwick. So we move on to today's ad finally, and just something to cheer you up, although it is a wrestler being miserable somehow. I've worked this in, Andy. Here's a lovely photo of Jon Moxley having the time of his life on a People photo shoot with Renee Paquette. Look how happy he looks to be doing this, Andy.
Is Jon Moxley the greatest guy who ever lived? Answers
he
on the postcards.
Be.
Please, to the usual address.
Right, let us know your thoughts on that and all today's news stories in the comment section down below. Apologies for ranting and raving today, but I hope you'll allow this one for us. Let us know your thoughts, as I said, in the comments. Follow us on Twitter. You can follow Andy Murray at
Andy H. Murray. The H today stands for Hope Everybody Who Was Released Yesterday Finds a New Place Quick and that they're happy when they do so.
Exactly. That's the most important thing to take away from all this. You can follow me at Adam Wilborn. Make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts. We're going to be previewing SmackDown later. And of course, myself and Michael Hanfler will be recording a podcast to go out over the weekend talking all about these WWE releases. Right, that's it. I'm done. I've got off to go and have another cry. My thanks, Andy Murray. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Oh! Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.